We'll be in Mark chapter 14 this morning. Mark chapter number 14, if you want to find your place in the Word of God. I want you to know that in the beginning, when God began to work in my heart this week, this phrase, Abba, Father, is mentioned three times in the Word of God. And it was in my heart in the beginning to go and preach in all three of these places in the Bible until something happened. I got hung up on the first one. And I knew we'd be here till 6 o'clock tonight if I tried to preach all three of them. So I'm going to just take my time and look at this first time that this phrase is used in the Bible. Stand with me, please. In reverence to the Word of God. The Bible said in verse 32 of chapter 14 in the book of Mark, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, and James, and John. And he began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch. And he went forward a little, and he fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And he saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." If correctly read, that's verse 32 through verse 38. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to come into your presence. We thank you, God, for our people. We thank you, Lord, that you have power to change lives. Thank you for what you've been doing, Lord, through the meeting in Bristol. I pray, God, that revival would spill over into our churches. Lord, I know that you've done a work in my heart. You've helped me. Lord, preachers need to be preached to. And Lord, I thank you for the preaching that our ears have heard. I pray, God, you bless our people this morning, bless our fathers, and help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you study this out, I'm going to be giving some introduction, but if you study this out, this comes from an Aramaic word that means daddy or papa, but we really shouldn't take this Abba Father to the place of familiarity. In other words, like some would say, the old man upstairs or something like that. That's just not proper. It's not right. And I'm going to read you something that I believe will help to introduce the message. 2,000 years ago, it would have been common to hear a son say to his dad, Abba, Abba, or Papa, Papa, Daddy, Daddy. What is being portrayed in the Scripture, in this title of our Lord, our Heavenly Father, is an intimate relationship. It's a closeness. Beloved, I don't say this critically, but I say it truthfully. I believe it's a closeness that very few people ever dive into and really enjoy. If you're here today and you have a son or you have a daughter, surely you can remember the times when they would sit in your lap. I would take nothing for those times, amen, the conversations that we've had back and forth, the trust that that child puts in that father, And just when you think it cannot get any better, Brother David, God gives us grandchildren. By then we've matured enough to really appreciate the children, amen, and really get some other things off of our mind. Brother Jack, you're smiling. You've been in Texas recently. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But you know, we have a Heavenly Father that wants us every now and then just to crawl up in His lap, just to say, Father, I love You. Father, I trust You. We sang the song the choir did, Living by Faith. I'll tell you, beloved, listen, there's one that knows whether we're living by faith or not, and that's the Father above. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We don't need Abba to mean Daddy for the words to be marvelous in our lips. That the sovereign Lord of the universe would make us His children and allow us to call Him by an intimate name is astounding. It is better that Abba holds the intimacy of our adoption alongside the holiness of our God. We don't want a father like our fathers. We want a Father who is high, holy, and lifted up. That is the God of heaven, amen. This Father's Day that Jesus is calling Abba, Father. It's not just to exclaim praise or recognition, but beloved, it's conveyed through Paul and Jesus. It reflects the knowledge of knowing that God knows us better than we know ourselves, and that He established paths for us even before we took our first step. As humans, you think about that, beloved. Sovereignty scares a lot of people. I'm glad I serve a God that knows the beginning from the end. Amen. That's why I can say with the Apostle Paul, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work, hallelujah, He's going to finish it. I didn't start this work in my life. And I'm not going to finish this work in my life. But I want to stay close to my Father. I want to stay in an intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father so that I can hear His voice. By the way, going back to the tent, on Wednesday night, a man came by me. How many's ever had the Holy Ghost to prompt you only to know that in just a minute or two, you missed an opportunity? This man came by me, and I saw him come by me, and I thought, well, I ought to speak to him. And then he stood there just a little while over at the edge of the altar. Those of you that were there, you probably remember seeing this. And about the time I made a step to go toward him, he made a step and went on over into the center of the altars, and somebody knelt with him. Well, I was glad to meet him on Friday night. He was sitting in a chair right along the edge of the tent, and I said, Brother, I saw you the other night. I was headed that way when God prompted your heart to go on over to the middle of the altars there. I said, what did God do for you? He said, I've been away for 20 years. He said, God forgave me, and God restored me. Amen. I say revival is not just about people getting saved, but it's about God's people getting right. Amen. Thank God, 20 years out of the lap of God, and He wanted to jump back up in His lap. David, beloved, got away from God and lost the joy of his salvation, but he wanted to be able to come back to that place where he could fellowship with God once again, have the joy of God in his life, and see sinners saved by the grace of God around him. Oh, beloved friend, when we cry, Abba, Father, you know I'm talking to people today. As far as earthly fathers goes, you may not have had a good father. Beloved, I'm telling you, I thank God there's scripture. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I served with a missionary, beloved, that he was raised up.
in these children's homes. He didn't know what it was to have a mom or a dad. And God showed him that verse one day in the scripture. And God saved him. Amen. And God called him to preach. And God's used him down through these years in a mighty way. I thank God, beloved, listen, for those that have a good earthly father. But I'm telling you, you can have a wonderful heavenly father, whether you've had a good earthly father or not. Amen. I believe Jesus here in the Garden of Gethsemane is showing us some things, beloved, that we need to see in this Abba Father. Why was it so needful for Jesus to be close to the Father? I'm going to give you some things this morning that I believe will be a blessing to you. Number one, I see that there was a great heaviness in his life. The Bible said in verse number 32 here, verse number 33, it said, "He taketh with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be sore heavy." Sore, the Bible said, sore amazed, and to be very heavy. I'm going to say something to you, beloved. Listen, this wouldn't fit with some of them false prophets, Brother Jason, you was talking about this morning. Amen. They always say, get saved and serve God and sow your seed. And I tell you, everything going to be, I'm going to tell you something, beloved, you listen to me. The Bible said, all them that live godly in Christ Jesus, there are going to be some suffering along the way. There are going to be some things come along that's heavy. Amen. And Jesus here was going to experience some heaviness. I want to give you some things that I hope will be a blessing to you when you think about the heaviness. In less than 10 hours from when Jesus is here in the Garden of Gethsemane. By the way, Gethsemane means oil press. Jesus is being pressed beyond measure. Amen. And listen, he had that close, intimate relationship. That's why he could call his father Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. It was no disrespect or dishonor. But beloved, it was an absolute and complete trust in the God of heaven. Amen. Knowing, beloved, that his plan was being fulfilled in less than 10 hours. On 6 to 9 on Thursday night, the Last Supper was being had there in Jerusalem. At 10 o'clock, Jesus and his disciples leave the house and go to Gethsemane. At 11, from 11 to 2 a.m., Jesus leaves the disciples and goes to pray for 3 hours. He comes back to the disciples twice and wakes them, calling them to prayer. Beloved, this sweat in that third hour was pouring out of him like great drops of blood. Between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. That Jesus is arrested. At 5 a.m. it's early daybreak. I'm not going to give you all of it. Just touch on some things. There's a mock trial going on. Peter denies the Lord. At Pilate here, and he's from Galilee, he sends Jesus to Herod's residence close by. Herod had been looking forward to that. He wanted him to see him, Jesus work some miracle in his midst. At 9 a.m. the crucifixion starts. At 12 o'clock, the sun grows dark. Around 3 o'clock, we have Jesus crying from the cross throughout the crucifixion, "Father, forgive them. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst." He then said, at 3 o'clock, "It is finished." And then, beloved, said, "Father, into thy hands." The same Father, beloved, that he was meeting with in the garden. In agony, he was fixing to meet with him in glory. Amen. Oh, you listen to me, beloved. Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, he experienced this heaviness, and yet he needed that closeness. He didn't need to just be close in proximity, but he needed to be close in his spirituality. Amen. Many times this was not new to Jesus. The Bible said very early in the morning, a great while before day, he would go off into a mountain and pray. Beloved, you can't wait for the heaviness to come. You better have a relationship with God now. You better be walking with God now. You better be fellowshipping with God now, because the heaviness is going to come. And when it does, thank God, you can cry, "Abba, Father." And beloved, I tell you, the Father will be there for you. The Bible says there's heaviness. Listen, Jesus, I know, less than 10 hours from when he's praying, Abba, Father, they're going to be driving nails in his hands. They've already beaten him. They've already spit on him. They've already mocked him. They've already crowned him with thorns. In less than 10 hours from when he cries, Abba, Father, you're going to hear the spikes being driven in his hands, being driven in his feet. They're going to raise that cross up on Calvary. Are you listening to me? Thank God, beloved. Listen, Jesus, the Bible talks about heaviness here. I don't believe the heaviness was the nails. I don't believe the heaviness was the knocking. I don't believe the heaviness was the beating. I'm talking about the holy, harmless Son of the living God. You know what was fixing to happen? The Bible said he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I tell you, beloved, listen, Abba, Father. Oh, he dreaded. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He is so holy. He is so harmless. He dreaded, beloved, that cup that he was going to have to drink of, so that you and I would never have to drink of that cup, the cup of God's wrath on sin. He drank of that cup. I'm telling you, beloved, there was heaviness. The second thing I see, there's humility. Watch what happens in the garden. In verse number 35, he went forward a little and he fell on the ground. I want to say this to you. You don't have to fall on the ground to pray. You don't even have to kneel to pray. But I say this to the fathers. There's liable to come a time in your life when you'll find yourself flat on your belly with your face in the ground, crying out to the God of heaven. The weight is so heavy that you'll want to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You know what the Word of God said? He draws nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. I'm telling you, God resisteth the proud. You don't see Jesus walking around in the garden, now, Father, I need you. Oh, no, he's on his face. He falls on the ground. Abba, Father. There's perfect humility. Not only, beloved, was there humility in the garden, but one day he stood up from the right hand of God the Father, and he said, I'll go. The Bible said he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the Savior I serve. Beloved, listen, if you're close to him, you can't walk in pride. He resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen. The closest people that's walking with him this morning don't know it. Because the closer you get to him, the more you see is wrong in your own life. And the more humble you'll become. Realizing, beloved, listen, that he is holy. He is harmless. He is the Son of God. And then notice this. Abba, Father. Not only is there heaviness. Not only is there humility. But I want you to get a hold of this. There's honesty. There's honesty. I'm going to tell you sometimes, beloved, we act like it's hard to get honest with God. Let me give you something that'll help you in being honest with God. Let me tell you what'll help you. He already knows. You can't hide anything from him. The Bible said he knows what we have need of. He knows the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows the hairs that's in our head. I'm telling you, beloved, he already knows. And yet he wants us to come. Jesus came and he was honest. You say, Pastor, what do you see in this honesty? He said, all things are possible unto thee. He said, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou will be done. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. That one word right there could change your life. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. We've all got our agenda. We've all got something we want to accomplish. But I'm going to tell you, that ought to be all tied up in a nevertheless. God, if that's not your will, You see, people will mock sometimes when you say, Lord, I want to know if this is your will. Here's the Son of God. He said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. Beloved, there's honesty in verse number 35. He went forward. He fell on the ground. He prayed, if it's possible, the hour might pass from him. There's some things in life that are heavy. There's some things in life, I don't know about you, but there's some things in life that I would rather go around, avoid. But I'm going to tell you something, everything that I've been through in my life, God had a purpose. It was part of the big plan. Someone said that life is like a parade. We stand on the street corner at a parade, and it goes by one float at a time. But you see, God is in heaven. He doesn't see one float at a time. He sees the beginning, he sees the end, and he sees everything that's in between. That's the God that we serve, the God that we can trust, the God that we can cry, Abba, Father. I'll give you this. Jesus is here in this intimate relationship with his Father. He's close to his Father. Not only is there heaviness, and not only is there humility, and not only is there honesty, but there's hurt. I'm going to ask you a question. You ever been hurt? I'm not talking about, beloved, mashing your finger or dropping something on your toe. You ever been hurt right here? I'll be honest with you. There is no hurt that hurts like being hurt right here. There's no hurt. There's a lady in this building today. I remember standing in your driveway with Brother Adam. I remember you shared with us the hurt, sister. And I told her, I said, there's no hurt like church hurt. Like somebody that names the name of Christ that hurts you. Well, you say, Pastor, where do you see hurt? Here's where I see it. Justin, these men have walked with him. They've seen him stand on the bow of the ship and say, peace be still. They've seen him heal the blind. They've seen him cleanse the leper. They've seen him feed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. Amen. They have seen the Lord do miracle after miracle after miracle. And the Lord asked them to do one thing. Watch with me. Pray with me. And he comes back and they're asleep. You can't tell me that didn't hurt Jesus in his heart. But let me give you something. Let me tell you something. The hurt, Brother Chris, didn't cause him to quit. Thank God Almighty, amen. He was hurt, yes, but he kept on keeping on and headed for Calvary. A lot of people, beloved, the first time they get hurt, they're done. I didn't sign up for this. I want you to know something, beloved. God can help you with that hurt. He's heard. In verse number 41 through verse number, excuse me, verse number 37, they're asleep. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse number 40, they're asleep. Neither, they didn't know what to answer him. In verse number 41, sleep on now. Take your rest. It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, please. This is not recorded in Mark, but it's recorded in Luke. Abba, Father. Luke chapter 22, please. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 41. Look in verse number 41 with me, please. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I want you to notice verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I've said there's heaviness, there's humility, there's honesty, there's hurt. But you know what I see in that verse? I see help. Brother Chris, I want to stay so close to it that the Father could say to an angel, that's my boy. And he needs some help. Do you understand what's going on here? Beloved, that angel didn't just show up by accident. I believe the Father, Abba Father, said, that's my son. I want you to go down there to help him. Oh, you say, Pastor, I wouldn't admit that I need help. Well, then you sit still in your pride. If I'm going to be the husband I ought to be, I need God's help. If I'm going to be the daddy I ought to be, I need God's help. If I'm going to be the papa I ought to be, I need God's help. If I'm going to make it through those times, beloved, of heaviness, I need the help of God. And I'm glad I have a Father in heaven that can look over at an angel and say, my boy needs some help. Go down there and help him. Oh, beloved, it's a blessing to know. A blessing to know that just when you think there's no hope, help is on the way. This morning, Abba, Father, a closeness that Jesus had with his Father. Heaviness, humility, honesty, hurt, help. You say, Pastor, what's all that got to do with us? Well, why do we need Abba, Father? Why do we need to have that intimate closeness with our Father? I want to ask you a question. I don't care if you raise your hand. How many even knows what I'm talking about? Honey, when he can squeeze your heart and it runs out your eyeballs. When you go to pray and you can't even say anything. And here comes the Holy Ghost making intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Let me ask you another question. How many knows what it is to lose that? You know what happens? That really, you can wrap it up in a little three-letter word. Sin separates us. Amen. I remember what I studied a little while back, and I'll never forget it. All my life, Brother Jason, I've been talking about the sins of omission and the sins of commission. But listen, here's what a man said, and I believe he's right. He said, every sin is a sin of omission. Think about this. He said, because if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you can't be doing what you're not supposed to do at the same time. Now think about that. If you're just doing what you're supposed to do, that'll keep you in the path, amen? Keep you on the right way. Why do we need Abba, Father? Let me give you three things quickly and I'm done. Verse 38, back over in the book of Mark. Verse 38, Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. The one that I have memorized is where the Bible said the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's just worded different in different gospels. The first reason we need Abba Father, Brother Stephen, is because your flesh and my flesh is weak. We ought to stay so close to him because our flesh is weak. The Apostle Paul was a great man of God. And yet he said this, we have no confidence in the flesh. When you start putting confidence in the flesh, honey, you're in trouble. And let me say this to every man in this building. I don't care if you've been saved 5 years or 50 years. Your flesh is just as capable of doing what it did before you got saved or worse. Right now. The only thing that's going to help us, beloved, is Abba, Father. The Bible said, bringing under our body into subjection to the blessed Holy Spirit. Why do we need Abba, Father? Number one, the flesh is weak. Number two, look at verse 36. The end of the verse, he said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. I'm trying not to be derogatory in what I'm about to say, but I'm afraid there's a lot of men that live and die and never even discover the will of God for their life. They're hanging on to their own plan, hanging on to their own agenda. Beloved, why do we need Abba Father? Because the flesh is weak. And number two, that we might find His will. You're not going to find His will separated from Him. You're going to find His will in His lap. I'm standing here today. I've told the story over and over, and I'll tell it again if I live. But sitting out there in an old Crown Victoria one night at almost midnight, asking God, God, I need an answer. God, they need an answer. You say, Pastor, what were you doing? I had this Bible open. I jumped up in my father's lap. I said, God, you're going to have to show me. I'm too far down the road to miss you now. You say, Pastor, you didn't talk to him like that. Ask him. Hebrews 11, 12, 13, James 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Read in verse after verse, word after word. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. I'm sitting in the lap of my Savior. And He said, feed the flock of God, which is among you. I'm here today because I had enough sense. I didn't want to do it. But I had enough sense to know that I had a father that, beloved, knew better than what I knew. Brother Mike, I'm not saying this critical, but I guarantee you, you and Sister Karen had thoughts when Coulter just walked off and left a good job and left good insurance. And I mean, that's your boy, and you're concerned about him. And I'll tell you where Coulter got his answer. It wasn't in Daddy's lap. It was in his father's lap in heaven. I know he confided in you, Brother Mike, and I know he confided in me. But the ultimate answer, he'll tell you the verse, come from right here in this book. And then years later, God gave him a verse to go to Alaska. Oh, I thank God for young men like that. You say, it don't make any sense to leave a good job and do the will of God. Let me tell you something right now. If you ever see what I'm seeing, it don't make any sense not to. Amen. Eternity will reveal who lived for the Savior and who lived for themselves. Why do we need to have a father? Number one, flesh is weak. Number two, we need to find His will. But number three, this kind of goes along with what I just said. I want to shake your hand, Brother Chris. We need to have a father so we can finish our watch.
Amen. Amen.
God's give us a watch, brother. God's given, by the way, a watch over Bloomingdale. We need Brother Shannon, Abba Father, that we might finish our watch. I'll tell you this. A lot of churches have let the watch go by the wayside. Here we are. We'd love to have you open the door and holler, y'all come. When the Bible said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I honestly believe the reason a lot of people won't make an effort to reach others
It's because of the way they're living. You know, your invitation, your weight wouldn't carry much. Your invitation wouldn't carry much weight because of the way you're living. Beloved, I've preached on Abba Father this morning. I'll end it with this. When's the last time you was in His lap? When's the last time your prayer life was so sweet that honey was running out of both sides of your mouth? When's the last time, beloved, that Bible was so real? The old time preachers used to say it like this. It's like God put it there in boxcar letters. I mean, it's almost like it jumps off of the page. That doesn't come with a distance between you and Him. That comes sitting in His lap. Brother Jason, I'll be honest now. It hurts sometimes to be honest. But it was much easier with Rock of Ages. Sister Sharon, I could get 5 or 6 messages that God was all over them and preach them for 6 months. Because I was in a different church, a different prison, a different church, a different prison. Any of you preachers home?
Amen.
Y'all would done be gone if I come in here and preach the same thing for 6 months. You would for 6 weeks, some of you. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to stand before God one day. I want to hear Him say, well done. Well done is not going to come from doing what I want to do. Well done will come. Let me ask you this. Get ready to sing, Sister Michela. Where are you at there? Sister Laura without the beard. Y'all know where Jesus was headed in that garden? Brother Grizzle, I didn't realize that there was just a few hours. I didn't realize that, brother. I've studied the Bible all these years. I didn't realize it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. He's praying, and at 9 o'clock they're driving spikes in His hand. I didn't realize that. I didn't. You talk about heaviness. He knows. He's going to become sin for us who knew no sin. And He also knows, Brother Mike, He's going to be crying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He had never. Oh, you say, Pastor, He left heaven and come down here. Yes, He did. But He had never been separated from His Father. That's why He could say, I do always those things that please the Father. Everything He did, He got orders from headquarters. He wasn't doing His own will. He's doing the will of His Father. You're here this morning, you're not saved. I highly recommend Him. I used to tell the men in prison, the Bible said, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, I believe. He said, you're of your father the devil. And the lust of your father will you do. I used to tell him in prison, Brother Mike, when I got saved, I traded daddies. I lived 27 years for that other father. That father that lies to you. That father that's trying to destroy you. And then God saved me by His grace. And our Lord, our Heavenly Father, became my Heavenly Father. Amen. Abba Father, a closeness. An intimacy. And now, since 1987, I can say I have a Father that's never lied to me. He's never led me astray. He's never hurt me. He's always been there to help me along the way. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to come this Father's Day in 2024 to the house of God. God, I'm not sure. I know I've preached what You want me to preach. I'm not sure, Lord, if it's getting across. All I can do is preach it. It's the Spirit of God that I have to get it across, Lord.
God, I pray for those that are here unsaved. I pray for those, Lord, that are here, and it's been a long time since they jumped up in the lap of their father, said, Lord, I love you. Lord, the only reason I love you is because you first loved me. God, I pray this morning for revival. I pray you'll stir our hearts. Help every dad in this building, Lord, to realize we have a Father in heaven that's to be the head of us, that we might be the head of our household. Blessing this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.